Hi, and welcome to Being Lutheran, a podcast dedicated to proclaiming the excellencies of Jesus Christ and the biblical theology expressed in the Lutheran Confessions. Today, Pastor Jason Goodham, Pastor Brett Bowe, and Pastor Adam Osher have another special episode on the season and the holiday of Epiphany. Being Lutheran is sponsored by the Free Lutheran Bible College and Seminary in Plymouth, Minnesota. Whatever your vocation, start here, go anywhere, grounded in God's Word.
Welcome to the Being Lutheran podcast. I am Pastor Brett Bowe, and I'm joined by
Pastor Jason Goodham
and Pastor Adam Osher.
All right. We had such a fun time last time having our special Christmas episode. We're going to do another one. We're going to do one on Epiphany.
Epiphany. Yeah. It's very interesting. Epiphany is a season and a holiday.
Mm-hmm.
So there's 2 weeks generally in
like Christmas.
Yeah. But Epiphany is 7 weeks long, mm-hmm. and Epiphany is normal time on the church calendar. It's why the paraments are green. It's
ordinary.
Yep. Yeah. Ordinary or normal time. It's not liturgically significant for that reason. But it again, the calendar works in larger versions of mini cycles.
Mm-hmm.
Is kind of what we're doing. And so you've got penitence, celebration, ordinary time with Advent, Christmas, and Epiphany. Then you have penitence, celebration, ordinary time with Lent, Easter, and the rest of the church year, 6 months.
This feels like a great start to a mini-series on all of those things.
Yeah.
Yeah, liturgical things.
Mm-hmm. It would be interesting to do, and it would be hard to cover just because of all the various specifics. You know, different groups add different traditions or take away different traditions from this, but it's the general confession of the church year, I think, is one of the best things we have.
Yeah, the higher arching or overview of, mm-hmm. like, you know, some of the things everyone would agree on, I think would be fun to do.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. The thing I love about it is all just focused on Christ,
yep.
and zeroed in on him. I'm assuming, we'll just pretend like Christmas happened. You guys had a great Christmas, all that good stuff.
Thank you for all the tools and ties my family bought me.
Are you like Tim Allen?
Basically. Yeah.
Tim the Tool Man?
Yeah. Except I don't have money to buy a hot rod or fix it up.
Or tools.
Or tools.
No, I have tools. I have almost all the tools I need.
Just don't have the car.
What are some of your favorite Christmas traditions, both church or home? What comes to mind?
So I'm half Norwegian, which means Norwegian pastries and other delicacies. We have a lot of lefse. And my family eats a version of a Norwegian delicacy. What most people are familiar with is rumagrøt, which is like a custard or a flan. My family...
That is an overstatement. It's like a butter soup,
well,
which is fantastic, which makes it beautiful.
Yeah, yeah.
So my family was too poor to make rumagrøt, which is made with cream. And so we make ours with whole milk, and it's just called grøt. And it literally is gravy. With a buttload of sugar.
That's what I was going to say. It's like roux with sugar and a little bit of cinnamon on top. That's all it is.
Nice.
The ingredients are flour, whole milk, sugar, and butter.
Nice.
And it's the only thing I eat on Christmas Eve.
Okay.
And it is so good.
We have a get together usually with some iteration of our friends and family, and sometimes it's like an interesting group. But just started in the last couple of years, doing a prime rib and having a bunch of people over and having a good time.
Nice.
It used to be, and this was our big thing on Christmas Eve, because as pastors, families, oftentimes, and we were a ways away from family, we were by ourselves. So we would go out to a restaurant. And
like A Christmas Story?
I actually didn't think of that until just now, but yes, just like that. No, and we would go to this Thai restaurant. And it started in such a random way, and then it just became a tradition, and our kids hate Thai. My wife and I, we love Thai, but it just became like Christmas Eve. It was the thing that was open when
nice.
We were, there's a long story, I won't go into it, but now it's kind of settled into, I like the prime rib that I make better, so. I like Thai.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking of that too. man, yeah, that's good.
You're sorry you asked that question, aren't you, Brett?
No, I think it's good. It's
what about
fun.
You?
Yeah,
what do you do?
I think... there's no one big thing that stands out other than just like the series of things that happen the same every year, and just love something as small as our family thing is after the Christmas Eve service, you know, with the candlelight and all that, coming back home. And that's kind of when we have our special family time, just our immediate family, and have a nice supper and all that. So anyway, I love that kind of stuff. But
yeah, we follow the same schedule for our Christmas observation. So Christmas Eve is our family, and Christmas morning, then Christmas Day we go to my wife's family, and then the weekend after Christmas, you know, on or around the New Year's is my side of the family.
Yeah, very similar to me. Yeah, so we are coming off of celebrating Christmas, and we have the season of Epiphany, as you started to talk about a little. But we're going
to... You know what we do to celebrate Epiphany? It's my son's birthday, so we typically have cake on Epiphany.
Nice.
So that's our new thing. He's four.
If he's been naughty, you say it's Epiphany cake and not birthday.
That's right. And he doesn't get any.
You don't say it's...
We put nuts in it, which he's allergic to, so he can't have any. Yeah, no. Nice. That's terrible. When he was born, though... This is a good segue.
Okay.
When he was born, we were in the hospital, you know, waiting, you know, how it goes, there's... and you're waiting for the baby to come, and you're waiting and waiting and waiting, and... all of the nurses knew that it was Epiphany. Every single nurse we had came in and talked about Epiphany. And I was like, I'm a pastor, so I get it. Like, Epiphany is like a, you know, a thing for me. But a lot of even Christians, this kind of, 'cause normal, ordinary church time, they ignore that. They ignore that particular day. And all of the nurses knew that. The funny part about this, and here's the kicker, it was also the... my son was born on the Capitol riot day. January 6th, 2021. So the day of... they never mentioned that, but Epiphany was the topic of the day. Everybody was so excited about these three kings, as we'll talk about.
All right, let's read it. Matthew 2, 1 through 12. It says, "Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, 'Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him.' When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And assembling all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. They told him, 'In Bethlehem of Judea, for it is written by the prophet, and you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel.' Then Herod summoned the wise men secretly and ascertained from them what time the star had appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, 'Go and search diligently for the child. And when you have found him, bring me word, that I too may come and worship him.' After listening to the king, they went on their way. And behold, the star that they had seen when it rose went before them until it came to rest over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy." I love that line. "And going into the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they fell down and worshipped him. Then, opening their treasures, they offered him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed to their own country by another way." Here ends the reading of God's word.
Amen.
I love this story.
Yeah,
it's just amazing.
Yeah.
You know, these wise men who are coming, that they're coming from the east. They're in some mystical religion, you know, and horoscopes and that type of thing was their thing, right? And God used, you know, got a hold of them in their circle, in their part of the world, so that he could come. And that's what Epiphany means. It means the revealing of, right? And this is interesting. So you always see this, three wise men story and everything. We've talked, I'm sure you've heard, you guys have heard, and I know our listeners have too, about how misrepresented the story is in so many ways. Like, the three wise men were not, it doesn't say, it's not three, right?
No, for it's one. Just wise men.
It's just wise men.
Magi.
So there's no number. Yeah. And they weren't there the night of the birth. It just happens to be juxtaposed in the story a little bit here. It's most likely they were not near the birth because of Herod's wanting to kill baby Jesus and hitting these kids who were, you know, who were toddlers, basically.
Yeah, up to 2 years old is who Herod, when in the slaughter of the innocents, which comes in the next two pericopes, It's up to two. And it doesn't have to be, Jesus doesn't have to be exactly 2 years old,
right,
because he's
exactly.
just roughing it in.
Right.
But, you know, they had been there for some time. And it's one of those things is why the church calendar matters. And it's like, for people who, we talked about on the Christmas episode, that treat Advent like the waiting room for Christmas, they treat Epiphany like the sequel. You know?
And I was going to say, are you guys the type that when you have the nativity set at home, do you not have the Magi and the shepherds at the same?
Yeah, I got the Fisher Price set for my kids, and I just threw the other ones away.
Yeah.
I said, I'll get those for you back in 2 years.
Yeah.
Call me in a couple of years, son.
We just try to have all the characters survive before they get infiltrated by, like, G.I. Joes.
or dinosaurs in my family.
Yeah,
you know, We're all familiar with the donkey, you know, that's there, and the camels and everything
kids
else.
Kids are great.
It's the dinosaurs that are
I walked in a few years
to baby Jesus.
And we keep the nativity scene on the entryway to our, like, house right away. So there's a nativity scene on the sofa table in our entryway. And it's a loaded... One day I walk in, there's like 5 Nerf darts in the middle of the... I was like, what were you guys doing?
Who thought it was a good idea to shoot baby Jesus?
Yeah, I just got a nothing, and they grabbed the darts and went downstairs. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it's it doesn't necessarily hold the same significance in the church year as it does in the culture. But I think Epiphany in the church year is way more important. Like Adam said, it's the revealing of Jesus as the Savior of the world. And Epiphany the day and the story of the wise men or the magi or the we three kings from Orient are.
It's hard not to sing in these. Yeah.
But that's a cultural thing. That's not a biblical thing.
Right, right,
Well, and the link of those two stories are not biblical either. Epiphany versus, is that what you're trying to say?
Well,
it's
right now it's the first people to discover Jesus as the Savior of the world after the shepherds are Gentiles. And then Jesus, during the however many weeks of Epiphany there are, because it fluctuates based on the location of Easter, which then pushes Lent back and whatever, it's Jesus is progressively shown through the gospel lessons as the Savior of the world to other people. Mm-hmm. That's the point of the season of Epiphany.
Yep. Absolutely. The link here, too, you know, there's a link here, too, to the Transfiguration, Brett, and... I know you've mentioned that when we've talked outside of the end of the podcast and different things. We were talking about that a little bit. How does that connect, or what does that look like?
Are you?
I'm not used to this.
We're gonna let Brett do some exegeting.
Brett,
you got 2 minutes before I interrupt you.
Yeah,
I'm usually the question asker.
I'm gonna ask Jason then. I don't want to put you on the spot. Yeah. You've done that to me before, so I'm glad I could do it back to you.
There you go.
I have no idea what Jason's talking about, Brett. Why are you?
I was gonna say, what's the question again? Yeah.
What is the Transfiguration?
The Transfiguration.
Transfiguration. Epiphany. Yeah.
Do you know Jason?
Yeah.
What is it?
So the Transfiguration is the ultimate revealing of Jesus as the Son of God. That's Jesus in his divine nature in the human flesh. That's the whole point.
It's kind of like the high point of his earthly ministry before going to the cross.
Yeah, in a way, I don't know if it was intended this way because my history of liturgics isn't great, but regardless, the pattern holds so that the last Sunday of ordinary time on the church year is Christ the King Sunday, and it's Jesus in his second advent. The last Sunday of ordinary time in Epiphany before Lent is Transfiguration Sunday, and it's Jesus in his advent as the King of the universe.
And it's kind of the bookends of the earthly ministry. Like, as he's revealed to be the one that, like, Herod obviously wants dead because he's a threat, and he's also the one who, at the end of his ministry, was the one who was the fulfillment of the law and the prophets. Like when Peter was there and the Transfiguration was happening, he wants to build the... He just had to say something, right?
Yeah, right.
That's my favorite one. I would literally laugh out loud
open
when I would read that. When I was he's like, it's good for me to be here. No, really? Are you sure? Yeah. I mean, you could have been somewhere else, fishing or, you know, with a cute girl on a date somewhere, but, you know, it's good for me to be here. Yeah, yes, it is, Peter. Yeah. Good job. Now, I'm going to build three tabernacles for each of you.
Yeah.
Shut up, Peter. Just listen.
This is my beloved son. Listen to him.
Listen to him. And so the law and the prophets are there, right? You had Moses and Elijah as the law and the prophets, and they fade back because they've all been pointing to this one revealing, like this epiphany that Jesus is there, the Son of God is there, and he is going to take care of business. He is ascending ultimately to the victory that he's about to win on his throne through the way of the cross. It's interesting. It's a beautiful picture. And just that whole idea of Christ being made known to all peoples, that this is, I am who I am, is here to do his business and take care of his people.
Right. And back to this story here in Matthew 2, Jesus isn't even really talking yet, as far as I know, being... a little one, and yet the same thing is happening there of Jesus being revealed as someone to be worshipped.
Yeah.
Can you imagine the disappointment, though, if he was a toddler and, got to that stage where he knew what he wanted for his birthday or for celebration, and these guys bring him, like, perfume?
Yeah.
How disappointing.
I asked for Legos.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Is that Tim Hawkins that has a little bit about, which son is it where they'll bring him
incense, gold,
yeah,
and myrrh?
It's like, why not a blanket? And like,
he might be cold.
Yeah, yeah.
But between the wise men and the little drummer boy, they just did not have it figured out.
No. Yeah.
Like, Mary, you just had a baby.
Yeah, let me play the drums for
play
you.
The drums. Why cultural Christmas songs are so utterly ridiculous.
Yeah.
Do you hear what I hear? all these things.
That is hilarious. From this point of view of Mary. Yeah, that's hilarious. Yeah, stop playing that drum, son. I'm sorry. It's nice. I just can't handle this anymore. Yeah.
Play downstairs.
Did you know? Yes, I did know. I knew all about it.
Yeah.
For 9 months now. It's been kind of a thing in my life.
Kind of been a thing. Yeah.
I've always wanted to write a response to Mary, Did You Know, where it's like some lyrical version of Did You Not Read Luke 1?
Yeah. Yeah.
Did you not?
There's like 70 verses on this.
Yeah. I do like the "What child is this?" verse. I think it's verse 3. Nails, spears shall pierce him through. The cross be born for me, for you.
That's why the best Christmas songs are the ones that effectively connect these things, and why Epiphany in the middle is so important, because this is who Jesus is. Hark the Herald does exactly the same thing.
Yep.
And you look at it again. So we talked about last time with the Christmas, that they don't go to the religious elites. The angels don't go to the Pharisees or the Sadducees or anyone. They go to ordinary people. What's interesting is that the wise men, the magi, do go to that people, and they don't have a good answer. Like, they go to the literal king of the Jews at the time, Herod. Where is he who's been born king of the Jews? And Herod's answers, well, what now?
Yeah. Say, what?
Excuse me? Pardon?
Yeah.
Tell me more. And they have to do the research that says, Bethlehem. And what I've always been curious about the magi is the nature of the star. Because there's something very supernatural about the star that they're following. But if you have magi and you have a sign in the heavens, what are the Jewish elite looking at? Why are they so blind? But that's the gospel buried in this. It's that we cannot reason our way into the kingdom of heaven. It's supernaturally revealed, just like the deity of Christ, it's just supernaturally revealed. This is a very special star for a very special time, and it's a gospel star. That's what it is.
Yeah, that's great. I remember that movie a few years back of they were trying to talk about how it was maybe the natural things, and I think that, I don't know if the Lord used that or not, but I think the emphasis is that the Lord was using this star to guide right to Jesus.
Yeah, and I've seen a lot of those specials, especially being trained in apologetics, that there was a lunar eclipse or a solar eclipse or Venus and Mars were, all of these things. And I get
you can trace all those things back, and then there's always a detail that's missing.
Yeah.
It's like the 70 weeks, that whole thing. And it works, and then all of a sudden it doesn't. But so we got to fudge a little bit. But no, if it's like that, you don't fudge a little bit.
Yeah.
By your math, it's 65 and a half weeks. Well, we're just rounding up.
Yeah.
But we've talked about this, I can't remember how long ago when we talked about Jonah, and we talked about the fish that swallowed Jonah, it is just as likely, if not more likely, that this fish was a unique species for a unique time, and there's only ever been one Jonah fish that ever lived.
One of one.
Like, yeah. It doesn't have to be a whale. It doesn't have to be some kind of giant grouper. It doesn't have to be that. This whole God can.
I love grouper. Have you ever eaten it?
It's delicious.
Fantastic. Yeah.
You guys.
But this could be, and likely is, just a one-time occurrence.
Yeah.
That, God certainly can line up signs in the heavens for this. I mean, he certainly lined up human history for thousands of years to deliver Christ to the world. He can certainly do that. But he can also just say, look, this is a special star for my son to teach the gospel. And we'd be like, okay, God. All right, I'm listening. This is great. Yeah.
Yeah, awesome. Well, as we wrap up this episode, any other comments?
Should we actually study the passage?
I was going to say, on the actual passage here, Herod is a character here in this.
What a snake.
Man.
I mentioned last week the best Christmas pageant ever. The Herdman kids also really hate Herod. They want to hang him. They're like, where's Herod in the play? And they're like, he's not in the play. He's like, he should be. Let's hang him. And I'm like, I can get behind that. Yeah, Is it, terrible human being.
Is there a more bald-faced lie in all of Scripture than, let me know where he's at. I want to worship him too.
Yeah. Yeah. But even that, the Lord was using, this is part of the story, to direct them to go to Bethlehem as part of how they made it there.
Yeah, and it's... Again, this is all Galatians 4:4 stuff, God directing human history to do it. I heard a sermon on this passage once that a couple things stuck out to me about it. I really wish I remember who it was so I could give that person credit. But they said the outcome of this story is that the wise men brought Jesus gifts that he already owned. the golden frankincense, yeah. It was already his.
Yeah.
And in fact, at the end of time, Herod will bow down and worship Christ. Every knee will bow, every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of the... And it's the little ironies when you realize the truth of the incarnation and the deity of Christ wrapped up. Yeah. All of these things, it happens. Like, the Jews are unintentionally right about the Messiah, even as currently they miss the identity of the Messiah. Herod, in his lie, predicts his future.
Mm-hmm.
The wise men... in an effort to give a gift to something they didn't completely understand, end up receiving a gift of the Savior of the world because he already owned all the gifts. It's just remarkable, the symbolism in this passage.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's great. All right, amen. I like these. We should do this again.
Let's just give up the Book of Concord. We're 75% of the way through. That's good enough. C+ is all right.
C's get degrees. Yeah, so I suppose next time you hear us, we'll be
into the final article,
small called articles.
Aren't you going to be glad to be done saying that word? Can you say treatise?
yeah, right. Anyhow.
I was wondering, can you guys come up with any other traditional passages other than this one with the wise men, the magi, or Transfiguration? Can you guys come up with any other biblical allusions to this one, though? It's interesting because this one is a whole life thing. Yeah.
Doesn't baptism of Christ fall under Epiphany?
I think it's got in that baptism of Christ Sunday is.
I think it's in January, is it not? I think it's the Sunday after Epiphany.
Yeah. The water and the wine.
Yep.
You know, comes because that is like
the first miracle
is a revealing of him. You know, it's just, it's not an event. You know, Epiphany is not an event. A punctiliar event, like a once and done. It's a progressive thing through the life and ministry of Christ that absolutely is revealed. And interesting. So I was just thinking back to some of the history of it and where it came from. And I know we were looking at this passage, but there's just so much there. There's so many passages we could have looked at. And if you're interested in doing more study on that, look at those as, you know, it exposes how Jesus was revealed to the world. And that's what Epiphany is all about. It's that season of like, look to him, forget the other stuff, lay aside the other things, look to him and what he did for you.
Thank you for joining us. Please look us up on the web at beinglutheran.com. Also, invite a friend to check us out on Spotify and iTunes. Please join us next week as Pastor Jason, Pastor Brett, and Pastor Adam continue their discussion on the Small Called articles. If you would like more information on the Bible School or the seminary, please visit flbc.edu. God bless you and have a great week.